Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll look at a few verses there in just a moment. I've enjoyed the sermon series that Pastor has been going through over the last few months called Test Drive, as our pastor has taken out the keys and dangled them in front of us and allowed us to test drive some things spiritually in our Christian lives that oftentimes we take for granted that most Christians are just doing. And I know that for me personally, these are things that, of course, we all know we're supposed to do, but upon personal evaluation of some of these basic Christian principles, we find ourselves lacking. We're not doing these things as much a part of our regular Christian life as we had thought. And hopefully I'm not alone in that. Was anyone else caught off guard by a couple of those and you found that, you know, yeah, I've known that all my life, but upon hearing the preaching of God's word, found out that, you know, I'm not doing quite as well as maybe I thought I had in some of those areas. And so praise the Lord for the series. And this morning we want to challenge you to take one more spiritual test drive in a specific area. And the area today is regarding the family. And it's one more area of our Christian lives that many families often have good intentions about doing, as we've had in many of these other areas over the last many weeks. But as much as we have good intentions of it becoming a part of our family life, very often it may have never gone beyond that point of becoming just simply that, a good intention. And for the sake of our children, for the sake of our families, I believe that what we're going to talk about today is something that's vitally important for us to give fair consideration to and see the biblical basis for why we ought to do it. I've asked a couple of kids to come up and help me this morning as we open with an illustration, and I'm going to ask those kids to come up. I've asked 10 kids to come up and help me, so if you're one of those 10 kids, come on up quickly, and we're going to have you line up in a row right here. We've got some great kids in Grace Baptist Church, would you agree? Kids whom the Lord is using. Yes, give them a hand, they deserve it. Come on up here. And just stand in a row right here, 1 through 10. All right, scoot on down. Now, did you know there's a statistic by Barna Research Group that says that kids, primarily kids who are raised in good Christian homes, what percentage do you think of children will continue living for God and adopt their parents' faith after they leave home? Just think about that for a moment. What percentage of kids will serve God beyond the years of high school and after they get out of the house? Well, according to these statistics, we're going to turn some of these kids around. You turn around. According to the statistics, 8 out of 10 kids raised in church will not stay faithful to church or faithful to living a Christian life after they leave home. Now, that ought to be staggering to us. And that really ought to concern us that, you know, we look at these kids and we say, these are good Christian kids. These are kids who love God, who come from good families. And yes, it's our prayer that all of these children will go on to serve God with their lives. That's our desire. That's our purpose. We're trying to see that happen. But statistically speaking, that's not the case. I'm going to have them have a seat, and I want you to give them a big hand. Thank you. You may be seated. The statistic states that 75 to 80% of youth who are raised in church will stop attending church after they graduate high school, or at least will not fully adopt their parents' faith and live it out in daily life beyond that point. You know, we consider all of our children to be great children, and they are, but it's more important that we have godly children than great children. And we want to talk about that this morning. As a parent, or maybe for you today here as a grandparent, it ought to greatly concern us when we see a statistic like that that's played out in our churches today. Let me bring that a little bit closer to home as we think about that. You know, if we were to take a church youth group with 20 core teenagers in that church youth group, according to these statistics, over 15 of them will no longer go to church after they graduate. I was a little bit unsure of that as I thought about this and this past week, and so I asked Pastor Ben yesterday. I said, "Hey, will you tell me about this? What is your thoughts on this?" And he confirmed that over his years in ministry, he would agree with this, that this is true. You know, let's bring it a little bit closer to home. My family has 4 children, and according to these statistics, of my four children, statistically speaking, three of the four would not go on to live as a Bible-believing Christian and adopt the same philosophies and worldviews that I have when they leave home. You know, certainly I don't believe, and I don't believe that you believe, it has to be that way in our homes and in our families and in our church, but still the cry of our hearts ought to be, why? Why? Dalton Key hits close to home when he says this, quote, "Our children are important to us. We closely monitor their scholastic and athletic progress. Their knowledge of past events, current events, and human psychology must not be hindered. Their sports achievements must not be hampered. Yet we passively allow the next generation to grow up without the most important knowledge, the most valuable training information of all. Our children know books, but know little about the book of books, the Bible," end quote. You know, echoing that, David Boswell said this, quote, "God expects each and every parent to do his or her part in raising children. The very first responsibility we have as parents is to teach our children of God. Every other responsibility falls before this one. As parents, we also need to know that instilling in our children a faith in God and the Bible is the best thing we can ever do for them. That early teaching will stay with them the rest of their lives. Impressions are made while they are young," end quote. You know, we as parents must remember that it's not a matter of if our children are going to be taught. It is a matter of what they are going to be taught and who it is that's going to do the teaching. You know, we would agree that our children are learning daily. They're growing daily. They're being taught daily by many influences that surround them in daily life. And the goal is that we want to be the ones that are the primary teachers of truth into our children's lives. You know, there's no question that a key factor in whether or not young people remain dedicated to their Christian faith or walk away from their Christian faith is the influence of their parents. Would you agree with that? The influence of the parents is such a key factor in children and where they go for the rest of their life. If you remember anything from the message this morning, hopefully you'll remember this. The shortest distance between your child's heart and Christ is you. I want to show you this and illustrate this in hopefully a very simple way. My son, my oldest son, was willing to loan me some paintballs. How many of you like to go paintballing? Amen. And in an effort to illustrate this morning, did you know that every person, including every child, has 168 hours in a week? All of us have 168 hours in a week. However, of those 168 hours in the week, the church, on average in the life of a child, gets one. By chance, we may get two. But on average, a church will get 1 hour in a child's life a week to influence them, which leaves 167 hours remaining, the majority of which are spent with their families. And yet, in most churches today, many families are trusting in the church to make sure their children turn out right spiritually and make sure that their children are getting what they need to grow in a relationship with God and ultimately send them off into adulthood living their lives for God and being passionate about the church and the kingdom. But I would ask you this morning, as we look at that, who do you think has the most influence? Who do you think has the opportunity to infiltrate the hearts and minds of our children the most with the Word of God and with godly principles and godly character traits and be able to make a lifelong impact upon them? I believe that parents must learn to own that they are the primary spiritual influencers in their child's life. And Deuteronomy chapter 6 makes that clear for us. If you go there, let's look at our text this morning in Deuteronomy 6 and verse number 6. Of course, God's speaking to Israel here, but he's speaking to parents specifically. And in verse number 6, he begins by saying this, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In other words, God says very simply that training our children in the ways of God is to become a way of life for us as parents. And he says that we are to do it diligently, meaning that it takes diligence, it takes discipline to be able to instill within our children our faith. A couple other verses that help us understand this, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. We're admonished in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. God says, even from the youngest of ages, as a child, they are able to understand the scripture, they are able to digest the scripture, they are able to accept the scripture, even to the point of it making them wise unto salvation. Children can be saved. George Barna was once asked this, what is the most important or shocking set of data you have ever found in your years of research? If you know anything about Barna, he researches all kinds of topics on a wide variety of scales. And of all the things that he has researched over the years, he said the one that was most shocking to him was this. When he took a national survey or sample of 13-year-olds, and he compared them with a sampling of adults comprising every age segment across the board, he said on 12 core spiritual perspectives, he discovered no difference between the groups of those ages. In other words, what that means is this. The things that a person believes at the age of 13 are the same things that that person will die believing at the end of their life, on average. He said this is what his research showed. That what a person believes by the age of 13 will most likely determine what they believe for the rest of their life. You know what this reveals to us is this, that we, as parents, as a church, as grandparents, as aunts, or as uncles, we do not need to wait until our children are grown up before we expect them to be able to understand major biblical truths. Nor do we need to wait until they're older, until we start pouring into them spiritually and investing into their lives. Worldview is being formed in children's hearts and lives from a very young age, even from the age of 2 years old. I remember when in our family, doing family devotions at night, I was teaching one time on the Trinity and how that the Trinity is the three persons of God which make up who God is. Who are the three persons of God? Well, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And I remember the next night as we were following up on that devotion, I asked the kids, I said, all right, well, last night we talked about something important. And I want someone to raise their hand and remind me, what is the Trinity? And my son, my youngest son, at that time he was 4 years old, Shane, he raised his hand. He said, ooh, 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 ooh. And he just blurted it out before I even called on him. He said, God the dad, God the kid, and God the holy guy. And my wife and I had a hard time not laughing, but at the same time, we knew that it connected with him, even in his small little mind, that he was able to grasp the Bible and grasp Bible doctrine in a way that made sense to a four-year-old. God never makes a distinction when he tells parents to start teaching and training their children as to what age they need to start, but rather, I believe it's implied in the Bible that once you have children, regardless of their age, it's your responsibility to nurture them spiritually, both in doctrine and in practical living, both in what is right and in just the biblical living principles of daily life. I firmly believe that the younger we begin to teach our children, the greater potentially we have of reaching our children as they grow. You and I both know that the world is actively trying to pursue our kids. Have you watched TV lately? Have you seen the commercials? Have you seen what the world is putting in front of our kids to lure them and to try to convince them that their product is the best? It's out there. They're convincing our children with their philosophies, their brands, their messages, even from the time that they're just toddlers. They came out with a few years ago a shopping Barbie. If you remember, shopping Barbie had a mock plastic Visa card that went with shopping Barbie so that they could swipe it on a little checker and be able to buy. And you know, don't think that there's not something behind that, right? The world is trying to infiltrate our children with thinking and decisions from the very start at young ages so that they can possibly influence them with a life of brand loyalty and ultimately a lifetime of profits. And if the world can grasp such a simple concept as that, don't you believe that we as parents must grasp that? And we as a church must grasp that, that the influence we have in the children's lives is so very important. You know, our children, especially when they're young, need for us to invest in them. And what better can we invest into our children than the Word of God? You know, never underestimate your children's ability to memorize the Bible. Don't underestimate their ability to understand the Bible and to even apply the Bible to their daily lives. With these thoughts in mind this morning, I want to challenge you to test drive a specific area in your family, and I hope that you will when you leave today. I believe it's one of the greatest tools that God may have given us to make simple the responsibility of being able to develop our children spiritually. It's a component of our family that has helped us to be successful in this area and really has become a cornerstone of the spiritual growth and training in our home, and I believe it can become so for you as well. Very simply, what some might call a family or altar is what we're going to talk about this morning, or more commonly known as having family devotions. Family devotions. You know, God clearly commanded us as parents in Ephesians chapter 6 to bring up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And hopefully it's our desire not just to raise good kids, but to raise godly kids. Kids who grow up to love God, and ultimately kids who grow up to serve God with their lives. But interestingly, when God gives us that command in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, he didn't do it with any detailed instructions. If you read it, we read verse 4, Bible says, nurture your children in the admonition, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But then you go on to verse number 5, and you see that there's no list of bullet points as to how to do that. There's no details as to what we're to do next. And I believe that when you and I became a parent, no one really had to tell us what to do, because you instinctively knew certain things that were your responsibility when it came to your kids, things like clothing them and feeding them and educating them, giving them a house to live in. You know, these were things that you learned intuitively and you're passing on to your children because they come naturally. And I believe that the same applies spiritually as well. We are to feed our children, clothe our children, educate our children spiritually when it comes to the things of God. And as we, as parents, grow spiritually, then we in turn can help our children to grow spiritually. And oftentimes the problem is this, that if we are shallow in our faith as a Christian, that is going to be reflected in our children because we are not going to be able to feed them like they need to be fed. And so this motivates us as parents to deepen our own relationship with God and develop our relationship with God so that as we do, the easier it becomes for us to pass that on to our children. Deuteronomy 6 commands us to pass on faith to our children. It says, do it when you sit in your house. Do it when you walk by the way. Do it when you're lying down. Do it when you rise up. In other words, the principle is this: spiritual training of the family is not supposed to happen on just being relegated to a Sunday or a Wednesday. Spiritual training in the home is to be an everyday part of life. And one of the ways that we found to best do that is through having consistent family devotions or a family altar. You know, our family's not always been the best at doing this. And over the years, we've had some high times where we've done really, really good at it. We've had some low times where we've really stunk at it. But the truth is, thankfully, you know, as we put our kids to bed at night, if we don't do family devotions, I say, all right, go brush your teeth, get ready for bed. I say, all right, go to bed. Almost guaranteed every time, one of our kids, well, aren't we going to open the Bible and do family devotions? And it almost keeps us accountable that they know that we are going to spend time in the Word of God and praying together before we end the day. You know, I want to give you some practical suggestions and some practical tools, and we're going to run through these rather quickly, but hopefully you'll take notes, and we'll provide you with some notes when you leave to be able to put this into practice in your own home. I want to share with you the why, the how, and the what of doing family devotions. Let's talk about the why first. Why is it important that we do family devotions? And right before we get into this, let's just pray. Ask God to help us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you give us your spirit to help us as we open up these truths, and that it would make sense to us as families as to why you'd have us to incorporate this into our family schedule, and that we would be willing to commit to test driving this and seeing what you would do as a result for the sake of our homes and our families and our futures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The why behind family devotions. Number one, because you are to be the primary spiritual influencer in your home. You know, for far too long in the church as a whole, many parents have trusted in the church to be the primary spiritual influencer in the training and development of their children. But that is not the way that the Bible lays it out for us to be. In fact, God makes it very clear that it is not the church, but the family, the home, the parents, who are to be those primary spiritual and faith influencers in their children's lives. I've been guilty of letting the church do my job for me many times. You know, I've found myself in that trap on multiple occasions where we're just going from week to week and we're busy and everything's going on, and before you know it, I'm just trusting in that they're getting what they need spiritually from the church on the weekends. And God didn't intend it that way, because God gave us as the family this. He gave the church this. And the church is not going to ever be able to be the primary spiritual influencer in your children's lives like God intended them to be. You know, parents need to own that they are the primary disciplers of their child. You know, the church's job is to educate our children and to help them to grow spiritually, but ultimately the church's job is to come alongside of what the family is already doing and be a second voice in the home to, or in the church to what is already happening in the home. And so the church comes alongside and complements and echoes what the parents are teaching. You know, you're trying to teach your children character and discipline and godly habits and train them in all of these ways, and we want to come alongside of you, and we want your children to hear it from another source, a second voice. Isn't it wonderful when someone comes along and says something you've been trying to say to your kids all along, and all of a sudden it clicks with them? And sometimes it's frustrating, isn't it? Why did you listen to them and not me? And yet the truth is, it's so very important that the church does come alongside and echo what you are teaching and training in your own home. But if that teaching and training is not happening in the home, oh, how hard it is for us to change a child's life 1 hour a week. It's so difficult to try to do that, and especially if parents count on us and trust in us and hope that we'll be able to do that, it's impossible. Number two, why family devotions? Because it provides a biblical training ground for children. You know, family devotions is a great time for doctrine to be taught, a great time for biblical literacy to be established. It's a great time for cultural issues to be discussed, and there's plenty of them to discuss. It's a great time for a worldview to be formed in the home. You know, sometimes as parents, we inadvertently think that because our children are here on Sundays or on Wednesdays, that they'll naturally know things like the books of the Bible or how to find books in the Bible. Or that they're automatically memorizing enough verses. And before you know it, we have relegated that to someone other than who it's primarily the responsibility of. I would ask you today, why shouldn't we be teaching our children those things in the home? Why shouldn't we be sitting down and memorizing the books of the Bible with our kids and being able to open the Bible and do sword drills at home and encourage them to memorize verses and even get incentives for it? Why shouldn't we as parents be doing that in our own homes? Number three, why? Because it opens up doors of spiritual communication. Listen, family devotions gives your children an opportunity to talk about spiritual things, which sadly many parents never do outside of the church. Listen, you ought to be talking to your kids on a spiritual level every day of the week. There are things all around you that you can point to God in your children's lives. And there are many times when we're doing family devotions in the evening, and my plans, I've come up with a verse or a plan of what I'm going to talk to the kids about, and my plans are derailed by my children because they start asking questions as we've opened up a spiritual discussion, and they start going in directions that I had not planned on going. And so guess what? I just quit what I'm doing, and we just talk about what's on their heart because they're thinking, and their gears are turning, and they have questions, and they want to know. And so family devotions opens up those doors for that spiritual communication to take place. You want to make your home an easy place for your children to talk about God and to have their questions answered. Family devotions does that. gives you a prime way to regularly put input in spiritually into your children's lives. And also it gives you a prime way to share the gospel with your kids. You know, there have been many times in the years as we knew that one of our children were being convicted by God of needing to be saved. And they knew they needed to be saved, and we knew they needed to be saved. And so we'd use that time as family devotion time to highlight some stories that had a very deep gospel emphasis, or to really bring out some gospel-centered things through that time on a repetitive nightly basis so that God could continue to work in their hearts in a greater way. And you know, family devotions allowed us to have that spiritual communication to take place. Number four, prioritizes spiritual and personal and spiritual time together. You know, I believe that our kids need to know that the Bible is a priority in our home. And I think that all of us as parents would agree with that. Man, I want my kids to know that the Bible is important. I want them to love the Bible, to believe the Bible. But then when we begin to ask ourselves, how often are we reading the Bible? How often is it open in our hands in front of our kids? And how often are we memorizing it and discussing it together? You know, I'd encourage you, especially if you have young children in your home, always use a physical copy of the Bible when you teach out of it. I don't think it's wrong. I've used my iPad and I've used my phone before, but the difference is this. I don't want my children to think that the Bible is just one more app on the phone that has, you know, this thing has multi-purposes, doesn't it? You know, I want my children to understand, especially when they're young, that this book is for a primary purpose. A sole purpose of hearing from God and learning about God. And when we open this book, we're not just opening another app on our phone. We're opening up something life-changing that has the power to revolutionize the way we think and the way that we live. When our kids were very young, we would often ask them to hold the Bible while we did devotions. And we'd say, all right, take the Bible, and while we're talking tonight, we want you to hug the Bible. We would have them hold and hug the Bible while we did devotions because we wanted them to understand that the Bible is something to love and something to cherish. Number five, why do family devotions? Because it helps you grow together relationally and spiritually as a family. Listen, there's just something special about a family getting together and praying together, reading the Word of God together, learning together. And not only that, it gives you an opportunity to teach your children of things that God has taught you along the way of your spiritual journey. Listen, we all have a spiritual journey, right? We all have come from somewhere. We got saved at some point. But I'd ask you today, do your children know, have you told them the story of how you got saved and of how the Lord worked in your life to bring you to where you are now? Because he has. How did you come to Grace Baptist Church? How did the Lord work in your life to bring you to a point where you're serving in the ministries that you are? Teach your children those things and allow it to grow you together relationally and spiritually. Number six, it gives your kids an opportunity to ask you questions. How many of you would agree that kids have a lot of questions? Oh, yeah. You know, this is something that, unfortunately, for many kids, questions go unanswered and unasked because oftentimes we don't facilitate and cultivate opportunities. And having a devotion time with your children allows you the opportunity to ask and to answer those questions. Charles Spurgeon said this. Look at this quote. He said, quote, let us expect our children to know the Lord. Let us from the beginning mingle the name of Jesus with their ABCs. Let them read their first lessons from the Bible, but let us never be guilty as parents of forgetting the religious training of our children. For if we do, we may be guilty of the blood of their souls, end quote. What a powerful thought. I want you to notice next the what behind family devotions. What do we do? You may be saying, okay, you've convinced me. Maybe I understand the importance of all that you've said thus far. And I believe that it's important, but what am I supposed to do? What will make me successful when it comes to doing family devotions in my home? Well, a couple thoughts. Number one, these are going to be really practical, so just buckle up. Number one, read the Bible out loud with your family. You know, whether it's one verse that you discuss or whether it's five verses from one of the Gospels or whether it's a chapter in the book of Genesis, just start. You know, many times our devotions simply include us reading a verse and then discussing what that verse means and how we can apply it to our life as a Christian. You have so many opportunities just from your common knowledge of the Bible. As a parent, you say, I don't know how to teach my kids the Bible. Yes, you do. You just don't know you do. Listen, start with some of the doctrines of the Bible and just talk about a different doctrine every night. Go to the Ten Commandments and go through one every night of the Ten Commandments. Go through the days of creation. That's 7 days. And you know what? Just talk about one day of creation at a time. Do some of the things that you've known all of your life and just talk to your kids about it and allow them to ask questions. Answer those questions. Read the Bible, talk about the Bible. Number two, use a devotional idea book or Bible storybook. If you have young kids, use a Bible storybook with pictures, and there's plenty of them out there. And we're going to show you some today that before you leave, you can get your hands on and be able to use. There's just a ton of great resources out there that you can use for family devotions that set you up for success. We're going to put some of those in your hands, and we're going to give you some resources of how to get some others as well when you leave today. You know, family devotions is about telling stories, but it's more than just telling stories. When you are inputting into your children's lives through the Bible, what you're doing is you're sharing your knowledge. Because again, you have more knowledge than you realize just from the fact that you're a Christian. You know what God's done in your life, and you know what God's taught you along the way, and so begin teaching them some of those things. And then you're sharing God's truth. You're just taking the Bible and letting it speak for itself and discussing it together. And ultimately, you're passing down your faith. That's what you're doing. You're passing down faith. If you go back to our text in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 says, or verse 5 says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. He's talking to us as parents. He said, the words that are in your heart, verse 7, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. God says, the way you're going to do this is you're going to take what's already inside of you and you're going to give it to your kids. You're going to teach it to them. And so the more you have in you, the more you're able to give to them. Number three, act out Bible stories through role play. This is a simple way to do family devotions. Just take a story. Kids love Bible characters. Kids love to learn through participation. In fact, the statistics show us that kids retain 10% of what they hear. They retain 40% of what they hear and see, but they retain 80% of what they hear and see and experience or participate in. So use that to our advantage. Listen, there have been times in our family devotions when we're talking about the disciples in the boat and Jesus calms the sea, and so we get cardboard boxes out, and each kid gets a cardboard box, and they get into it. And when the waves come, they start rocking the box, and we have fun as we teach the family devotions because we want it to stick, and we want it to be something that they remember, and participation and role play helps that to happen. Number four, sing songs together. You know, sometimes we forget that some of the things that we do with kids every week here at church are things that we can do with our kids at home just as effectively. You know, devotions are to be a fun time, and it needs to be a fun time when you do it as a family. And so one of the ways you can make it fun is by doing things that kids enjoy. And one of the things that kids enjoy is they love to sing. They love to sing action songs, all right? We're not talking about just sitting down, all right, let's hold hands and sing, Kumbaya, my Lord. No, get some of, you know, I'm so happy and here's the reason why. Or get some, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Father Abraham. Whatever you want to do, get something that gets your kids excited and pumped about God and the things of God. And you know, singing songs to the Lord's not just something that should be reserved for church. When's the last time your family sang a Christian song, a Bible song, a church song together? Let me encourage you to do that, because singing is a great way to worship the Lord. And you know, family devotions is about having family worship. Number five, memorize verses together. Talk about what to do when it comes to family devotions. Memorize verses together. This last week, we were able to share fellowship with a family out in New York who just recently took a church, and this pastor and his wife were explaining to us that one of the things they've been doing is memorizing a book of the Bible together as a family. And they've memorized almost the whole book of the Bible. I believe it was James chapter 3. And they are memorizing this book a couple verses at a time in their evening devotion times. And what an encouragement that is. You know, in addition to just memorizing verses, I encourage you, memorize the books of the Bible. Look up books of the Bible. And do those sword drills. Remember, the Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart. Why? You can say it with me. That I might not sin against thee or against God. Listen, the Bible says when we hide God's word in us, It gives us and equips us to fight temptation. Listen, I don't know about you, but I want my kids to be able to fight temptation. I want my kids to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and memorizing verses will help them to do that. Number six, pray together. Family devotion should be a time of prayer, and I encourage you to have a list of prayer requests, and a great way to start is just to take the church prayer list that we give to you on Wednesday nights in the life groups. Take it home. Say, all right, kids, we're going to pray for some of these requests, and let your kids know that that's something important to pray for people in the local church. Take advantage of those times to teach your kids how to pray. And let me encourage you as well, allow your kids to pray. Let them pray themselves. You know, what a wonderful time it's been for us to be able to allow our children to develop their spiritual skill of praying on their own through our family devotion time. And allowing them to talk to God and be able to express their heart to God and what they feel about prayer requests for other people and struggles that they're facing. And what a wonderful opportunity it is. So hopefully that'll give you some ideas of what to do when it comes to family devotions. Let's get to the how. How to do it. Okay, we've talked about why we need to do it. We've talked about what we need to do. But let's get really, really practical for a moment. How am I going to actually carry this out effectively? Well, let me give you some reasons, and hopefully they'll be helpful. Number one, you need to schedule it. You need to schedule it. What gets scheduled gets done. In your life, in your home, in your family, you put it on the schedule, it's more likely to get done. If you just have good intentions to get around to it, it's most likely not going to get done, at least not in our family. You've got to schedule it. And so how do you do that? Well, it may be just once a week, twice a week. You schedule the next week. We're going to do it two times this next week. We're going to schedule two nights that we're going to sit together with the Bible open, and we're going to have devotions. You know, there's no right or wrong time to do it. For us as a family, it works best for us to do it in the evening before bed. And that's just a great time for us to gather around, to talk about the scriptures, to pray together, to close out the day, give each other family hugs, and then send everybody to bed. But for other families, it may work best. I've known of families who've done their devotions in the morning at breakfast time before everybody scatters and leaves because the rest of the day is so chaotic. And they do it around breakfast before even heading to school. You know, it could be that maybe you do it at dinner time, right after you eat supper, because everyone's around the family table. It's just a convenient time. Everybody's already there. You don't have to corral them back up later on. And we often do that as well, scattered throughout our devotional schedule, where we'll do that after dinner devotions. And that may work best for you. But here's the thing to remember. I'll guarantee you that Satan will make sure that some circumstance will come up that will try to steal that time from you. He will. He's going to do whatever he can to keep you from investing into your family through family devotions. So let me encourage you to make it a priority and fight for your family, because Satan won't let it come easily. And there will always be an excuse, if you make one, for why you can't do it. Number two, how to have family devotions. Let loose and have fun. Family devotions is not a time to protect your dignity. Your family devotion time is a time to have fun. And role play is a great way to do that. Listen, if you're teaching David and Goliath, and listen, Dad, you be Goliath, and you let your kids take a Nerf ball and throw it at your head, and you, whoa, crash on the floor and have fun. Your kids will never forget that. They'll love it. Listen, there's so much you can do to make it memorable for them and make it fun for them to where they look forward to that time with the family, because they know that you're going to have a great time around the Bible. You're not just teaching the Bible, you're making memories. Here's another tip for how to do it. Keep it short and sweet. Amen. Keep it short and sweet. Your children don't need, and your children don't want, another sermon. They don't want you to preach them a sermon, and they don't need you to preach them a sermon. So don't let your devotion time become that time where you're just sitting them down and you're talking for 30 minutes. They're going to be bored out of their minds. I wouldn't want to listen to me for 30 minutes. You're sitting out here listening to me for at least 30 minutes. But guess what? My kids, I want them to look forward to coming to our family devotion time. And one of the ways we can do that is by just making it short and sweet. Also, don't let your family devotion time become a behavioral correction time. I'll be real honest. This has been a big one for me, because years ago, man, you know how it is, parents, during the daytime. If you know you're meeting with your kids at night, everything that happens during the day, I know what I'm teaching on family devotions tonight. Yeah, I'm going to hammer them hard. You know, family devotion time needs to be a time where we are worshiping God, lifting up our God, teaching our kids how great our God is, not how mad we are at them because they haven't followed our rules. And so, you know, I found that 5 to 10 minutes is perfect. 5 to 10 minutes. Listen, you're just talking about the Bible. You're letting them ask questions about the Bible. You're having fun together. Keep it short and sweet. Number four, keep it varied. You might do one verse and a memorization one night, and then Bible reading and discussion the next. You might do a theme story with a role play the next night. You can do all kinds of things and keep it varied so that it stays fun. You know, we've even assigned some of our older kids to do devotions where we'll give them a few days in advance and say, all right, on Thursday night, you're responsible to bring the devotion for the family. And you will share a verse and a thought and get that discussion going amongst our family members. And what a great opportunity for our kids to be able to do that. Number five, ask lots of questions and allow for lots of questions. Again, you want your devotion time to be a discussion, not a mini sermon. And so the purpose of family devotions is not for your family to have church every night of the week. Your kids don't want to have church every night of the week. And they shouldn't want to have church every night of the week. But when you start to make it alive and you start to make it fun and you start to vary it up and you allow for it to be a discussion with questions asked and allowed, you know, it can be something that allows the Bible to come alive to your family. And that's what you want. And then number six, always end in prayer. Always end in prayer. A family altar gives you the daily opportunity to pray together over needs and over wants, where your family has needs, they have struggles, you have special requests for you and friends and people in our church. Our missionaries need prayed for. There's a prayer list, as we mentioned, that goes out every week from our church. There are plenty of opportunities for us to pray with our children and to end our devotion time in prayer and make that a priority with them. You know, also a great time to train your children to pray, by giving them the opportunity to lead in prayer. Now, as we wrap all this up and try to bring it to a close, I want you to know that I understand that when we talk about a subject like this, like family devotions, when it comes up, we as parents probably begin to feel a little bit guilty about not having done better at this or me being more consistent at doing this. But when we consider the impact that it has upon our family, this faith commitment that can make such an impact for a lifetime upon our kids, it really is worth it. It really is worth it. Dennis Rainey, president of Family Life, told this story of 5 grown siblings who came together at their parents' 50th wedding anniversary. And when the time came to express their thanks to each parent for the one thing that stood out above all in their memories, each one of them, without having consulted with the other, said that they thanked their dad for his leadership in family worship. And one of the brothers said this, "The oldest memory I have, Dad, is of tears streaming down your face as you taught us from Pilgrim's Progress on Sunday evenings. No matter how far I go away, no matter how far I went astray in later years of life, I could never seriously question the reality of Christianity. I had seen it in you." Dennis Rainey went on to say these encouraging words concerning family devotions when he said this, "There is no formula, no guideline, no perfectly right way. The only real requirement is that you do something to get your family into the Bible, even if it feels uncomfortable at first. You and your children simply need to hear God's word and interact with it on a regular daily basis. I promise you, He'll take care of it from there." Listen, spiritual growth and training can take place at a family altar. The benefits of it are just too far to mention because, again, over time, what you're doing is you're just putting those drops into the bucket of your child's spiritual life. Every day, adding another drop. And over time, it accumulates to a biblical worldview and a spiritual foundation for the rest of their lives. No, it's not always convenient. It's not always easy. But it's worth it because the shortest distance between your child's heart and Christ is you. You know, you may be a parent here today with kids at home, maybe a grandparent with younger grandchildren or an aunt or an uncle. You can take the same practical suggestions we've talked about today and find a way to apply them to your situation with the kids in your daily life. Never underestimate the power of a godly adult in the life of a child. You know, if you're a parent with kids still in the home, let me encourage you concerning this topic today as you consider test driving family devotions. If you aren't doing it, I hope that you'll start, that you'll give it a try. It's easier than you think. Just get started and don't make it harder than what it is. Do what works for you. We're going to provide you with some tools so that you can. If you have started, and maybe you've struggled to be consistent, you've had determination before, man, we're going to do this, we're going to open the Bible together as a family, we're going to have spiritual discussion, and, you know, the first couple times you do it, it just doesn't go like you want it to, and it kind of falls off the bandwagon. Let me encourage you to pick it back up, dust it back off, give it the priority that it deserves. Because as parents, we've got to choose that we're not going to be that family that looks back years from now and says, I wish we'd have. I wish we'd have done this or that. You know, if you're consistently practicing family devotions and having a family altar, I pray that you'd be even more resolved as you leave today to continue doing it and even have some fresh ideas for how to make it fun and memorable. Some of the books and things we're going to provide with you as you leave are these. The handout sheet that we're giving as you leave today on the back table, it's going to provide you with all the bullet points of the how, the what, and the why that we've talked about today. And then also, it's got three websites you can go to, and it will link you to a couple different resources. There's a place called Mercy and Truth Ministries that provides books called Walk in Truth. And they provide about 20 of these books. They have 30 to 31 devotionals in each one. They're only one page each, and they're very simple. And I'll actually put these on the back if you want to look at them. Very simple. You can buy 20 of these different books, each of them with different themes and topics. There's sports themes. You can talk about all the different animals mentioned in the Bible. You can talk about doctrines. And you can get those for $2 or $3 a piece, or you can buy all 20 of them for, I think, $30 or $40. It would last you for the rest of your life for devotion time. If so, you can't use it as an excuse. You don't have the resources. And you don't have to come up with the ideas. You just open the book and you talk about it. Another great one is God's Greatness Discipleship Guidebook. There's a link to that that you can find. It's got activities the kids can write down each night as you're going through that. We're going to give you this one, and it's available on the back table. And this is the Kids for Christ Discipleship, 7 weeks of teaching kids about the doctrines. And it includes highlights salvation, baptism, the church, Bible reading and prayer, witnessing, serving, forgiveness. And so this is going to be in your hands as you leave today. You will have 7 devotions, and you can make more out of it than that, that you can sit down with your kids, talk, discuss, look up the verses together, and be able to get started. And so let me encourage you to grab those and use those. The challenge today in Test Drive is this, that you would accept the challenge by doing 2 to 3 nights of devotions this coming week. Just 2 to 3. And take time to sit down with the kids and open the Bible and apply some of these things we've talked about today. And, you know, whether you're a grandparent, aunt, or uncle, let me encourage you to get some permission from the children in your life, their parents, to let you do this with them. And to invest in them, take them out to McDonald's and talk about spiritual things and maybe make it a monthly deal where you're able to do that. Because don't ever underestimate the power of a godly adult in the life of a child. Our kids are dropping off the Christian bandwagon at alarming rates. And the key to keeping them, and more important to them keeping the faith after they leave our home, is not the church. The key is us, the parents. Listen, our children need to leave our home with a passion for the things of God. Where are they going to get that from? From us. They need to leave equipped for God's service. And ultimately, they need to leave prepared to establish more gospel-centered homes in the future. You know, the hope of the future of Christianity rests in our ability to raise a generation of godly young people who will be able to raise up the next generation of godly young people. And that happens when our children are led by parents who love Jesus passionately, who serve in their church actively, and who saturate their home completely with the Word of God and the things of God. You know, parents, we're counting on you. We're counting on you to do your part so that we can effectively do ours. And it's so important that we work together. Let me share with you these verses and then we'll close in prayer. Psalm 78 says this, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." I'd remind you this morning that the shortest distance between your child's heart and Christ is you.